Good morning. We've got a reading starting at Acts 15. Verse 36 and carrying on to Acts 16, verse 15. And I think my mic should be on now, tech guys. That's Acts 15, starting at verse 36. And this is probably not the way to read it. After some time had passed, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers and sisters in every town where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take along John Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take along this man who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone on with them to the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, after being commended by the brothers and sisters to the grace of the Lord. He travelled through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman. But his father was a Greek. The brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were there in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled through the towns, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem for the people to observe. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. They went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia. They had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, "Cross over to Macedonia and help us." After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. The next day, to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, a Roman colony, and a leading city of the district of Macedonia. We stayed in that city for several days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate by the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women gathered there. A God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. I'm trying to do it tech-wise, and it's probably a mistake. It's quite a long reading. I've got a sort of key verse, which is chapter 16, verse 10. After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. It's quite a famous verse. So here we are today, teetering on the very edge of passion for life, as you can see by the leaflets on your seats. We're about to embark on our contribution to this nationwide mission in the run-up to Easter. Over the past weeks, we've all been, well, not all of us, a lot of us have been looking at the Passion for Life videos. And we've watched these, we've heard testimonies from people who have learnt of ways to share the gospel with family, acquaintances, neighbours, and strangers. And we've listened to teachers on those videos explaining the principles and helping us to get more confident in doing that ourselves. And in the Bible, we see sometimes people doing that individually. We see Jesus engaging with individuals and talking to them about God, evangelizing, if you like. And Philip, of course, with his interaction with that Egyptian official, is another example of someone doing that, being led by the Spirit to just go and talk to one person. But a lot of the time, it's a group endeavor. It's something people get together to do. Are we ready? Are you ready? Am I ready? Our reading today is about Paul's second missionary journey. And I'd like to look at that and bring out some aspects of a group of people going on mission. And I have four headings. I was determined to do a slide, but events overtook me. So I got four headings. I've got teams, I've got travelling, I've got testimony, and I've got triumph. So if a group of people are going to do a mission, first of all, there needs to be a team. We find Jesus sending out teams. He sent out his disciples in a team of 12. And later he sent out a team of 72. And within those teams, they sort of split up the bigger teams, and they had teams of two. The disciples went two by two to tell people about God's love for them. Paul intended to visit those churches he'd been to on his first missionary journey, and he wanted to take Barnabas, his companion on that first journey, along with him. And Barnabas wanted to go, but he wanted to take Mark with him as well. And Paul wasn't willing to do this because Mark had turned back on that first journey. He went back to Jerusalem. And this fact led to a disagreement between Barnabas and Paul. You might even call it a blazing row. The words are quite strong in Greek. Which resulted in Barnabas going back to Cyprus and taking Mark, while Paul set off with Silas and went to revisit those mainland towns which they'd been to on the first journey. Now, when Paul gets to some of those towns, he gets to Lystra and he meets Timothy. And Timothy has this excellent reputation among the people there. So Paul is keen to have him join the team. So the team grows as Timothy is brought on board. And they travel from town to town. They were carrying a letter from the apostles in Jerusalem. And they were telling people what the apostles had decided. And as they did this, I'm sure they did some evangelism as well. And the churches were strengthened in faith. And they grew day by day. Paul started out with a team, bit of a row, but he brought someone else on board along the way, and he built a team. That's team building. And Paul was traveling. He was going somewhere. If you've got a Bible with maps in, it will almost certainly have one map with Paul's missionary journeys marked on it. And Paul at this time was clearly intending not just to go to those towns he'd been to before, but to preach the gospel in the Roman province of Asia. That was present-day Turkey. And we read, however, that the Holy Spirit forbade them from preaching there. That's in verse 6 of chapter 16. And we're not told how the Holy Spirit did this. And we, and as far as we know, Paul and his companions, were not told why the Holy Spirit did this. But he did. He stopped them from preaching there. And frustrated at this obstacle, Paul turns north, coming to Mysia, another part of the province of Asia. And he wants to go to the separate province of Bithynia. But Paul meets another insurmountable hurdle. When they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. That seems strange, doesn't it? The Spirit of Jesus not allowing Paul and his team to go somewhere and preach the gospel. And we're not told why or how. So now the mission team turns west. And it arrives at the port of Troas. And here in Troas, probably on that first night, Paul has a vision. He has an amazing vision. We read in verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision in which a Macedonian man was standing pleading with him, cross over to Macedonia and help us. So now we have a reason for the Holy Spirit blocking Paul's path to preaching in Asia and Bithynia. Paul had his own plans. Paul had his own itinerary. But God had other priorities. And God brought Paul and that missionary team to the place he wanted them to be. Paul didn't have to waste any time wondering if this was just another ordinary dream. He was convinced that this was a vision from God, a call from God to preach the gospel to the people of Macedonia. And we come to that verse 10. After he, Paul, had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So that team of Paul's, that missionary team, immediately set out for Macedonia. They board a ship, they set sail, and they stop overnight at Samothrace. And in the morning they continue their voyage and step ashore at the port of Neapolis, which is present-day Kavala in Greece. And from here they travel about 10 miles inland to the city of Philippi, a Roman colony. And that is the end of traveling for a while at least, because they stay in Philippi for several days. We don't know how long. It's the end of traveling, and it's the start of testimony. God has put them in the place where they need to be. And it's time for testimony. It's time to preach the gospel. That was the purpose of the vision. And Paul was convinced that he was there to preach the gospel. The second half of verse 10. We immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I said it was a famous verse. We, it's the first time we is used in Acts. Third person plural, I think. And it's probably when Luke, the writer of Acts, joined the team. Someone else joining the team. We immediately made efforts to set out for Macedonia. They travelled to where God wanted them to be. They followed the vision, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them, the testimony. Now the team was together. Now the team was where God wanted them to be. And now was the time to fulfill that purpose that God had brought them there for. Now is the time to testify, to proclaim the good news of salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the team were not slow in stepping out to do this. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and spoke to the women there. Now, it was Paul's practice to go to the synagogues. We read that all the way through Acts. It often caused him trouble. But very probably there wasn't one in Philippi. It was a very Roman city. And when he gets to the place of prayer, you'll notice there are no men there. No Jewish men. They were all women. So Paul and his team sit down and they talk to the women. The testimony. They tell them. And here already, we're moving from testimony to triumph. Because there can be little doubt about the content of that conversation they held with the women by the river. The gospel would have been shared. Paul would have spoken to them, telling them of all that Jesus had done. He may have shared something of Jesus' powerful teaching, of his wondrous miracles. Almost certainly, Paul would have demonstrated that Jesus was the much prophesied and long-awaited Messiah. He would have told them that the Christ had suffered and died for their sins to bring them salvation. And certainly, Paul would have told them of the triumph of the cross. He would have told them of the triumph of the cross over the powers of evil. The triumph of the cross over the sting of death. He would have told them of the triumph of the empty tomb. That Jesus was risen. That they could know him if only they would turn from their sins and follow him. Triumph upon triumph, and yet another triumph. Paul preached the gospel to the women. We don't know how many there were, and we don't know how most of them responded. We do know, however, how one responded. A God-fearing woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, was listening. The Lord opened her heart to respond to what Paul was saying. After she and her household were baptized, she urged us, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. If she was the only one, what a triumph. Not even Jewish, but a God-fearer. What a triumph. Lydia listened to the good news of Jesus. The Lord opened her heart to the message. The Lord opened her heart to the love of Jesus, and she responded. Lydia said yes to Jesus. Said yes to Jesus' message of forgiveness, of love, and of life. What a triumph. Lydia became a believer in Jesus as her Savior. Lydia and all her household were baptized. Lydia opened her heart to Jesus and her home to the mission team. What a triumph. But you know, none of this was trouble-free. Along the way, there were those struggles and trials. And throughout the book of Acts, we see the proclamation of the Bible, the gospel, being accompanied by trials, sometimes actual trials. And we should not be surprised if that is the case with us. There were trials in team building. We have seen how Paul and Barnabas disagreed over whether to take Mark. Two very different people with two very different personalities. Paul was focused on the mission. Paul was focused on preaching the gospel. As far as Paul was concerned, Mark had deserted them on their first journey. And he considered him, therefore, unreliable, unfit for the task. I'm sure Barnabas was no less dedicated to sharing the good news of Jesus. But Barnabas was the encourager. He wanted to take Mark along. Perhaps so that Mark could get more experience, so that Mark could learn some stuff and become better at it. But Paul and Barnabas couldn't agree. A blazing row, and they parted company. But still, they were centered on the mission. Barnabas and Mark crossed the sea and revisited Cyprus. Paul went overland to the churches they had been to before. Two missions instead of one. And of course, later on, we know that Paul, Barnabas, and Mark were all reconciled. We see them working together, working as a team, partnering in mission. It's no different today with churches full of different people, different characteristics, different temperaments. It's not that surprising if at times there are disagreements. perhaps even blazing rails. Yet surely we can work together to be Team Trinity. Surely we can fix our eyes on the triumph of Christ and work together to proclaim the gospel, to make disciples of all nations. There were trials in the traveling. We are thankful for those who today journey hundreds, thousands, maybe, miles on mission. And we know some of those who dedicate their lives to bring the gospel to faraway places, to faraway people. Yet we too are on a journey. Not a journey of many miles, but nonetheless a mission journey to reach out to others. Paul had his plans, but the Holy Spirit stopped him in his tracks. Then Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia calling for help. We've had plans here that haven't worked out. Ideas that have had to be revised. That's why James Tredget is talking at these events. We've had plans that have had to be dropped. But there is still a vision. A vision to reach out in the love of Jesus to those who do not know him. One of those visions is an Easter town treasure hunt. It may not have come to Liz and James in a dream, but it's a vision for connecting with those who don't know God. The vision of that Macedonian man calling for help was given only to Paul. Yet his whole team got on board that vision, and they immediately set out to Macedonia. Is Team Trinity ready to get on board visions like James and Liz's? That vision of a town treasure hunt. A hunt that could lead a household like that of Lydia's to find the greatest treasure in the universe, the treasure of eternal life with Jesus. Do you have a passion for life? Do you have a passion for life in Jesus? Because if you do, you will be sent on a mission for life. If you have a passion for life in Jesus, you will be sent on a mission for life to become the person God created you to be in Jesus. You will be sent on a mission for life to reach out to others and to bring to them the good news of God's love for them in Jesus. Am I ready for my mission for life? No, not in my own strength. But I trust in God that he will continue to work in my life, that he will continue to change me, that he will prepare me, that he will empower me to be the person he made me to be. Am I ready for a passion for life, for the mission? No, not in my own strength. But there is a vision of those in need of help. There is a call of God to reach out to the lost. We can all be part of a team. We may not all be great evangelists, but how important it is to pray, how important it is to be have our efforts covered in prayer. And if you can't walk, if you don't want to give out leaflets, you can be here, you can be in your home, and you can cover Passion for Life with prayer. And that is most probably the most powerful thing we can do. I am not ready, not in my strength. But I will be a team Trinity part of this mission if God will give me strength. Amen.